Welcome to another season of On My Stoop with Ray. I'm your host, Ray Blankenheim. I wanted to go into this show to capture what's happening in Baltimore right now. It's a wonderful time to be in Baltimore. Everybody is getting together and preparing for the 200-year celebration of the Battle of 1814 that occurred in Baltimore, where Francis Scott Key composed his famous song that we all love. All these groups are working together. The mayor's office, Friends from Fort McHenry, the National Heritage Trail Group, which Baltimore is just proudly included in, where we've all been working on getting that moment together. And correspondingly, if you just walk around the neighborhoods, we are well prepared. Wonderful, beautiful. We got flowers growing everywhere, trees, and a thriving neighborhoods, all ready and willing to celebrate this incredible historic moment where we fought and won against the British, our second revolution. So I wanted to read and try to take you back to that moment. This is something I wrote in one of our newsletters, actually back in 2000. Let's travel back in time when Baltimore fought for our nation. One of the quotes here is, "To stand as with folded arms and look on the scene as a mere spectator is not to be borne." This was a quote from Colonel J.A. Coles of the militia. It was one of those moments when we cannot forget the blaze of our capital burning some 40 miles away. On August 24th, 1814, Baltimore looked forward to the end of a hot, tension-filled summer. But hopes vanished quickly that evening as a sleepless city populace looked in horror toward the blinding glow that consumed the southern horizon. All feared for family, friends, and the fate of the nation as they stood helpless, gazing from the city's rooftops at what could have been the city of Washington burning. No doubt, fallen to the British whose ships had been blockading the Chesapeake. Section 2. The time has arrived now that every heart may be stimulated and every arm nerve for the protection and our common country, our liberty, our altars, and our firesides, said our populous governor. From despair to determination, citizens worked to prepare for the British. But born that night was a sense of determination that all felt. Led by General Samuel Smith, the citizens of Baltimore went to work. Daily reported at 6 a.m., and toiled till dark. Men, boys, slaves, freedmen, the rich and the poor, all joined side by side to dig in entrenchments. Women worked to feed, clothe, and care for the army that was pouring into Baltimore. Merchants stood forward to contribute all manner of badly needed supply. And ship owners sank their ships in the Baltimore harbor to ensure that the British fleet could not approach the city via water. Another quote. My brothers and friends, the alarm guns have just fired. The British are approaching and commanding you to God and the world of his grace. I pronounce a benediction and may be the God of battles accompany you. This was a minister at Wilkes Street Methodist Church. That's when the signal for the city's defenders to mobilize occurred. It was Sunday, September 11th, 1814, at 1:30 p.m., the quiet of the Sabbath was shattered by the sound of these shots fired from cannon on the courthouse green. The signal being heard, all knew what to do. Fathers and son paused only to give family one last embrace. Then they rushed forward to join the rest of the troops who were trying to get to their positions. Women and children in wagons and on foot, the poor carrying children on their backs fled for the safety of the countryside. Soon the city defenders were in position, some 15,000 men in Hampstead Hill, now Patterson Park, to ward off the expected British land attack and hundreds of others positioned at Fort McHenry and the other fortifications along the Patapsco. I wanted to bring up these past moments and try to relate it to where we are now. The other Friday, I took a walk. We weren't going to go out. And I've related to you how much I love this neighborhood, and this moment reinforced it. I was walking down the street, and it was one of these sunny-filled days. It had been raining for a couple of days, and everybody was getting back from work or hanging out on their stoops. I saw a big burly man with long hair, unshirted, but he had his baby in his hand. I saw mothers returning with their groceries, pots of flowers everywhere, trees growing, neighbors greeting each other. Walking down the street past Kissling's, everybody was out sitting at the outside areas, families, young people, all enjoying each other's company. This is a moment where you just realize what a great place you've lived in. And you also look at how far we came. There's so many parallels to what we were facing back in the revolution. And as community activists, we sat and we built this neighborhood back to where it was a wonderful, vibrant place. And yet, similar to back in 1814, we were comfortable, but there was a 20% gnawing at us that something, you know, the issues, we knew that urban degradation is right around the corner or probably closer, that we still have unruly bars, that this threatens our security and our populace, our peace. So we still have unruly institutions, certain areas where we have had to work on, where we feel unsafe around the perimeters of our association. And it's always so hard, even back then, to compel people to do things. Back then, before the war, before that battle, famous battle of 1814, where everybody grabbed their rifles and digged the trenches and did whatever they could, so many people almost were just willing to just give up without a fight and say, ah, this concerns someone else. We're fine. We're happy in our beautiful homes. But then again, that awful night when the fires consumed our southern horizon, we all knew what we needed to do. So here we are in this wonderful neighborhood of Faust Prospect. It's a neighborhood that's right on top of Eastern Avenue. It's based on her historical name. It's right next to Broadway and this wonderful port. And we as association members, as community members, spend time. It's like our church, planting community flowers, identifying vacant homes. You know, when we do have a problem institution, we still know, just like our forefathers, what to do. We band together. We log. We collect evidence. We work with our community association. So appropriately, and I warned Victor Corbin that I was going to yap a lot before I introduced him. But accordingly, we all know is our leader, someone who's been working for years now to do all these things, help us to gather, giving us strength to take on parking issues, to take on the beautification. And these are the fun things, but there's also a lot of tough things, unruly institutions. We can do it. We've done it. What we traditionally do is we work as a family in Baltimore. We engage all these different organizations. And so you folks out there can do it. We know you can't. So at that point, I'm finishing up my introduction here. And I'm introducing Victor Corbin, a guy I just think has been doing a great job at helping us maintain these types of things. Would you like to say hello, Victor? Should I ask you some questions first?
Sure. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. And let's just get started.
Sure. Let's talk about some of the things that we have to do as community association folks. One of the first things you did, and I've always admired you for this, as you came in and you took care of the parking issues. And the thing was, it blended itself to that what we were talking about before, which is defensive space. But it really helped that it was just such a huge issue. So let's talk about that a bit and what you had to do.
Well, I remember when I came on, I had just taken over as the community association president. Or was nominated to take to go from vice president to president because the president had just stepped down.
Okay, you were vice president first.
Right. When Chris had to leave, the board met and said, you know, we think you should become president. You know, you're currently the VP, so we just had elections. And I reluctantly took on the position, and then the issue of parking came up. And I was told that for years, the community had tried to look at reverse angle parking, and that it never got done. And some people had said it was like 10 years ago that they had tried, and there was some resistance at the time, and I said, well, what's the problem? Let's just get it done. And I remember meeting Alana Ridge, and that was a big issue for her. And so...
A neighbor.
One of the neighbors. I knew that was a passion of hers, so I said, let's get people where that parking is an issue. Then, coincidentally, at that same time, Butchers Hill asked to have a meeting to address these issues. And I said to them, okay, well, I went to this meeting first time, and they said, we need to do something about parking. And reverse angle parking was mentioned. And then we had a meeting, a follow-up meeting with the city, and we were sitting around trying to decide the directions of the streets, and the city was telling us no to this, yes to that, and, you know, did it work out perfectly with the directions? No. I mean, what we initially wanted, some of the directions were changed by the city because they felt they needed to be a different flow. They wanted more traffic flowing into Lower Fells Point. So, make a long story short, at that point, I said, let's just do it. You know, we had to get the petition. At that time, there was a petition process you had to go through.
So you got everybody together to go out, right, and get these petitions signed.
Right.
You had to assemble a team.
Right. We had to put together a group of people. We
committees,
had the maps.
Chairs, right? A committee, you might call it?
In a way, it was like a committee.
Okay.
So what we did was we got a group of people that we knew that would be willing to go out and we basically gave up our whole summer.
Right, and you had to motivate people to do that, didn't you?
Right.
Were they motivated enough? I mean, you know.
Alana was definitely motivated because this was a hot-button issue for her.
Okay, so she was kind of your lead. She helped you out. She was your voice or someone who felt very passionate about
it.
Yeah, so.
And I think when you talk about community, normally when you want someone to get involved, you have to find out what their passion is. It could be crime. It could be parking.
Excellent.
It could be beautification.
Right.
So you can, I think you want to pick people to do things that have a passion for that item. You don't want to put someone that's in charge of, you know, that likes beautification and you say, hey, you become my crime chair. You know, then they're not going to really be involved in it and they're not going to give 110%.
Do you ever find, and I don't mean to cut you off at this point, but do you ever find that you before you trust them, you kind of make sure that they do some work first before you like kind of bring them up the ladder or, you know. I mean, I've found that to be, you know, so sometimes people come, I want to do this, I want to do that, and you
personally,
promote them.
Yes. I mean, that's the kind of person I am. Everyone has different leadership styles.
Right, okay.
I am not a micromanager as far as committees. Like other people can be.
Okay.
I feel that if you are going to volunteer your time, because a lot of people forget we are volunteers.
We all are volunteers,
right.
Absolutely.
We don't get paid one dime to do this. We do it either because it's an issue we have a passion about or because we want to do something better for the neighborhood. When I first got involved, I was kind of like, okay, what am I supposed to do? I've never done this before. You know, I was on the student council once, but that was it.
Right.
So what do I do?
You were on the student council once.
Yeah, I mean, years ago in high school. But,
oh, okay.
You know,
right.
So what do you do? And then so basically I looked at the organization and I said, you know, the biggest thing was when you said Fell's Prospect,
well,
nobody knew what that was. Who okay. is that? They hear Ooh. Fell's Point, Butcher's Hill,
right.
Canton, Highland Town. So my initial thing was we have to brand ourselves. We have to get our right. name out. So, you know, I changed a couple things.
You changed the logo?
The logo. Okay. I went to a local artist.
And I put that logo together. No, just kidding.
And
no,
I got,
that's good. That's
I decided
good. You had to do that.
Right, to incorporate the park a little bit more because that seemed uh-huh. to be a big focal point of the community.
Excellent. Okay.
And that Lower Fell's Point was more about the water.
Okay.
And we were more about
right.
the park.
Okay, that's some of the reason why. Excellent. I get it.
So, and then row homes, and then you were starting, as you talked about earlier in your intro, about mm-hmm. the walk and gardens and things like that. So we had some of those things, the tree wells, and put into the logo.
Excellent.
So that was my main goal. And then after that was to get more people that had a passion, like Debbie, who was the crime chair at the time.
Yes.
You know, crime issues were a big thing for her. You know, uh-huh. she had been involved in COP.
Public safety. We call it public safety committees.
Exactly.
Right. Right,
you know,
right,
I think
right.
now we call it Citizens on Patrol or
right.
or the crime committee.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
you know, and then Alana was really active in parking. And so you pick people.
You key people.
Right. And
right.
you grab people and you get them because they are excited about a specific issue. And you move forward, and with the parking, I mean, to go back to parking, I'm a do-it-now person. You know,
yeah.
if I'm going to do it, let's just do it. And we were very successful, and I got a couple other people that were in the secretary at the time was Kate and Roger, her husband, and we just divided up the neighborhood into grids and streets and said, let's get out there and just bang it out. I remember sitting mm-hmm. on steps at 3 p.m. and deciding, all right, we're going to go door to door and just wait for people to get out of their cars and say, do you live on this street? To get them to sign the petition
right.
or ask them if they want to sign the petition. And that's why we were able to go ahead and get it done.
So you got your key people together. You identified, you know, where your talent was. And they were kind of your point people. Once you get that together, right, it's easier because then they get their folks and their groups together. And, you know, you could coordinate that, you know.
Well, the next thing was once you get the people together and get them motivated.
Right. Yes.
And that was one of the things that I thought was important. We had to get at least one street done. Because
yes.
once you got the street done, you could actually have a result and you could show people that, look, we have more parking. And I remember when the first street was converted, and I could see the parking change. Because I remember when we didn't have it, you come home at 4 o'clock and there was nowhere to park. And then when we did one block, then it was 4:30, 5 o'clock. And then when we did another block, I remember this young guy coming back and he says, oh my God, this is the first time that I was actually able to
right.
leave and come back at 6:30. And he went to the loading dock to get some beer for the weekend.
Right.
And we could see the changing of the time. Now, granted, today we still have a parking problem. It didn't fix it, and I knew it wasn't going to fix
right.
it. There's an issue that people continue to overlook. Our neighborhood is very unique. We have 10 streets that have no one-street parking. So
right.
those people that live on those streets, such as Madeira, Duncan, Chapel, Chop Tank, Portugal, they have nowhere to park in front of their own homes. So they park on the other streets, which are Gough, Bank, Collington, etc. So we will always have a parking problem in our neighborhood.
Yes.
You know, so for anyone to think differently, you know, they're not being factual, because the facts are we're at a deficit of approximately 2,900 parking spaces.
Right.
From Patterson Park to Broadway.
Yes.
It will never change.
We're almost victims of our own success. We're over the generations and, with you at the helm over these last years, where people were popular. People want to come in, they want to live in our neighborhood, and so it's almost like a mixed blessing because you do have that parking issue. But you did help. My God, before that, what a mess. And I think you made a really great point about let's identify one block and let's start somewhere, and work that out, and not just for parking, but other community association efforts as well, in different areas. Then I remember actually one of the first times I met you was at the dumpster day.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
And here's this guy Victor, and all the new crew, and it's just so funny because I have not been able to step into a meeting since, but working with you, I'm going to start helping out a bit, and we talked about that, and I really want to. But I sort of got to meet the whole new crew, and your vice president, and you guys did such a great job at getting working with the mayor and getting those resources down there to continue that tradition of cleaning up the neighborhoods, because that's so important too.
Well, there's a huge correlation between a dirty neighborhood and crime.
Yes.
And I mean, I do believe you see that.
Yes.
I know you and I were talking earlier about some of the problems that we see along the Broadway corridor.
Yes. That's a big subject we're going to talk about, right, that, but keep talking about it.
When you look at trash and, look at the difference between, a really clean street and people are willing to park their cars there. They're willing to walk there. There's more lighting or there's more foot traffic. But then if you have a street that's got, vacant properties, trash in front, newspapers that haven't been picked up for weeks.
Yes.
People start to feel like nobody cares about that part of the area. And so they'll avoid it because they're not comfortable.
Yes. It's almost unconscious, but yeah, it makes such a difference.
Right. So that's why the things that I think community associations, what we try to do is it's about quality of life. Do we have controversial issues? Do we take on topics that not everyone likes? Sure. Do we have problems in the neighborhood? Yes. But all in all, the neighborhood is a great community. I mean, I've lived here for 10 years. And, I invested money in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You see people spending money on fixing up properties.
Yes.
People want to be here because of its proximity to multiple neighborhoods.
Isn't it? And it's great to participate in all that.
Right. And it's like you want to make – after my first or second year, then it was you felt like, okay, I can make a difference.
Yes.
So then you start looking at other issues. And sometimes you're thrown into issues that you're not aware of.
Yes.
When I remember the first time, and I've seen, my name and people see me comment on liquor issues.
Uh-huh.
I remember when the very first big fight that came to the community was about a specific bar. And there was a hearing process getting ready to happen. And I got thrown into it. And when I saw what was going on, it was Chubby's.
Yeah, we could mention Chubby's. Chubby's is gone.
Right, so. Chubby's. And, that was something I had never dealt with
before. Boots. Boots was before Chubby's. Do you remember Boots? Were you
no, but I heard the
time?
History.
Yeah, it's a funny. Yeah, I mean, this place, Boots, you would go in. I went in once with my buddy, and it was late at night, and I don't know. He talked me into it. He was fascinated, and it was like one of the most – it was so bizarre to go in this place. But, Boots turned into Chubby's, and you worked with all the neighbors. I mean, everybody was very upset. It was a situation where people were scared.
Yeah, I think people were uncomfortable. The neighborhood was changing. That was at the beginning when the neighborhood was a lot of renovation. It was during the real estate boom.
Sure.
You know, so you had a lot of new people moving into a neighborhood that were unaware that there was a strip club. I had no idea there was a strip club on Eastern Avenue. You know, you only associate that with Baltimore Street or, you know, some of the seedier parts outside of the city center. And when that came about, you know, it was something that I had not had a passion about. And then that fight lasted for years.
Yes.
And it was, we had some successes and then we had some failures. And we had to hire attorneys and community law center, et cetera. It's like two presidents before me, one of his passions was the rezoning of the neighborhood.
Was that Matt?
That was Matt. Okay. Matt Haig.
He
worked to get the neighborhood rezoned residential. So sometimes I think what happens is you get roped into a specific issue. And so now a lot of people will say I'm the go-to guy in Fells Point when it comes to liquor or bar issues.
Yes.
And then we have people like in Remington.
You did have been doing a great job, too. And it's so hard. I mean, we've been in this situation. We've turned to you, the association, to help with situations where we're afraid. And we are banding together as neighbors, and we don't want to be singled out. So this folks, this is when you have to turn to your association. Your association will help you work together as neighbors to represent you, and will work with your other leaders, your city councilmen, your state people.
Yeah, I think the good thing is a lot of people, the association is important when these kind of issues come up. It's kind of like an umbrella. If there are groups of individuals that are afraid to tackle something by themselves, they look to the association because then, not that it's protecting them, but that they can use it as a resource. The only way you can hire a community law center is you have to go through a community association. So if there's a zoning issue or a liquor board issue, you can hire them through your community association and you get a group of people. I mean, there's a multitude of issues that you could hire the community law center.
Right. They're a great asset. I mean, and I'm not sure, but they seem unique to Baltimore. So we have a great asset in the community law center because they will provide you guidance in any type of nuisance situation that the neighborhood is undertaking. So
right. If there's a nuisance property, you can contact them. Over years, you can develop certain skills. I mean, you can learn a lot about the process.
Right. It takes time.
It does. I mean, the first year, I looked to Butcher's Hill, past president.
Shining example, Butcher's Hill.
Right. Barry Glassman was president, and I looked to him and said, can you help me? Because I wasn't sure what I should be doing as a community
president. I wish I knew you back then because I wish we could have worked a little bit more together, but that's beside the point.
I think what happens is, and you see this with other past community presidents, when you step away from it, you step away a lot.
Yes.
Because you invest a lot of time, you basically takes over your life in some respects because you're dealing with residents' problems. You may be dealing with the community's problems. You're trying to fix things. You're trying to balance things in the neighborhood. You want to do events, communities, meetings.
Right. There's a lot of stuff. And you're a volunteer. Once again, you're just a volunteer, you know, and that's where the committees come in.
Right.
And, you know, so you have to pick your key people. And, and then they help motivate and you work with that, you know. It's tough. But the thing is, what we got to remember, too, is not everybody needs to be a president.
I think there are different ways everybody can give back to the neighborhood.
Yes.
Whether that's you delivering newsletters on just one block or 15 blocks, or if you want to just clean up in front of your own neighborhood or check in on your neighbor.
Yes, be a block rep. Kind of, you know, represent things to the association. Be their ears and eyes.
Exactly. There are some people I know in the neighborhood that are seniors, and they want to be more involved, but they can't because they're limited to get out of their homes. But they keep their eyes and ears open. They'll make a phone call to me and say, listen, I saw this or I heard this. Can you help? You know, can you report this for me? And so then we can go to the police or the neighborhood service unit and say, listen, we have a neighbor who's passed on some information. Or you could have a person that only wants to come out once a month and do, you know, a cop walk. Or just sit on your front steps and turn on your light. Everybody can do what they can, or give towards the association to cover the cost of the newsletter.
Or work with the beautification committee.
Right. I mean, we have some people that I don't see ever come to a meeting, but they do go to the garden club, and they participate that way. Or there are some people that they deliver the newsletter. We have people that when push comes to shove and you say, listen, we need letters sent to the city council or to the mayor, or support this change in the legislation. And we put out what I call a call to action to the neighborhood. Those people will go out there and they will write that email and send it in. They're doing their part. Right. You know, they have full-time jobs. There are different circumstances. One of the community presidents in Lower Fells Point, she's retired. I myself am self-employed. Mm. Then we have other community presidents that are like real estate agents and they have flexible hours. I mean, if you have a full-time job, you do what you can. Other community presidents do have full-time jobs and they do the information in the evenings.
Right, sure. And they and what they do is they delegate. They, you know, they get their committees together. It's like what my great aunt used to say after we had a big Italian meal and everybody'd be sitting around, and she said, many hands make light work. And everybody got up and they all cleaned, and the aunts and the uncles and the kids, and they all, before you know it, all these piles of dishes got washed, you know, and all the, then you have that wonderful achievement.
Right.
You have a great legacy in this neighborhood. The parking, you remember those times when we got together, you got together and, you know, motivated people and we got things done. The beautification.
Yeah, we did. A lot of people forget. I mean,
people forget.
Because we did, the association planted close to 7,000 bulbs in Patterson Park.
Absolutely.
And that was at the very beginning, like 6 years ago.
And that's wonderful, isn't it, when you get to do something like that?
And people,
you know,
when they're driving down in the spring and they see all the daffodils in the, on Patterson Park near Gulf Street and Bank Street. Your association did that for you.
And you did. You helped do it, too, you know. And when you go by for the rest of your life, when you see that, you said, I did that, you know. Mm-hmm. And there was one, you know, some of the things that I got involved in. And as you were saying, it's like accidental almost. You know, you start getting involved. I was a Brooklyn guy, and we had some issues on the neighborhood. And, you know, so we started working together on this one house, 236 South Collington Avenue. I even have some of the old original letters, you know, and then I started working with Ronnie, you know, but actually Chris Brown as well. He turned into one of the presidents, and he was doing Citizens on Patrol. And I said, hey, Chris, what are you doing? And he says, Citizens on Patrol, they're driving around in those days. And I said, oh, you know, you're in Citizens on Patrol for what? You know, so association. And at that time, we were no man's land. So I asked the association, you know, I said, Chris, can we be included? And they went ahead and they included us in their boundaries. And that's, so at that time it was called Concerned Citizens for Upper Fells Point and West Canton.
Right.
And then we changed it to Fells Prospect. We felt it was more positive. And then you took it and you actually took it from the, you know, we were kind of a historical angle, but you took it and you repped up the rep again, and you, you know, remodeled a bit, and you've been doing a great job.
So, yeah, I think one of the things that I wanted to make sure was who people knew who we were.
Yes.
Because you always heard those other communities, and nobody, when you were like, well, what sometimes your rep is down. Right.
Sometimes they know about you. Sometimes they don't. You know.
I mean that sometimes they know me for the right reasons and the wrong reasons down at City Hall. But
now they know you. Now they know who you are.
When you say Fouls Prospect, now everyone knows where it is.
Fouls Prospect is right. Yeah.
And part of it's branding. You know, it's like I would always. And I've started to add this to our newsletter, where it's not the newsletter, our letterhead, where it says Fells Prospect, and then I put in quotes a Fells Point community for people who don't know that don't live around here. This way, they'll know there are multiple community associations in Fells Point. You've got Douglas Place. You've got. The Fells Point Residents Association, Fells Point Community.
There's so many of them.
Yeah, there's at least six of them around here. And you walk two blocks and the issues change.
Yes. We work with people on specific hot button issues. We rise to the occasion because it's our community. It's our neighbors. We care about our neighbors. This is a neighborhood where people walk around and they know each other and they want to know what's happening. And you talk to them and you hang out. We just witnessed that earlier with one of your block reps from Ann Street. Back in the day when I was involved, we rose to the occasion. And I even hate to talk about these things because it's not really part of this neighborhood anymore, even though the residuals there, that 20% is lurking with drugs and prostitution. And that was along the day, and that was along Patterson Park. And I said, when I first started, I was being cocky about it, but it turned out because we worked together as neighbors, we were able to take care of that historic problem where there was prostitution and all that stuff. And we work with the police. We work with the state's attorneys. We work with the community policing. We work with the mayor's office of neighborhoods. Together, we all worked as a family to take care of that. And now, you know, I'm Mr. Whip Van Winkle. I'm sitting there with a beard. I haven't been involved that much. But the thing is I worked so many years in this neighborhood and I care about it. And so it's a lot of the old-time activists, and we've got all these new folks here. Just like back in the War of 1812, there was this new generation. They weren't the revolutionaries. They were the people that came along after them, but they knew what to do, but they were fairly content. We got this issue over on Broadway. Broadway, let me explain Broadway to us. Is our heart and soul. It's always been the center. It was the first center of commerce in our city. It's where we went from the waterway, where we brought all types of wonderful things into the new world, and we grew as a city around Broadway. So we still manage to maintain the historic character of it. If you walk around Fells Point, you'll see that. And we've worked with teams of people to do that. And neighbors have gathered together to ensure that happened. All right, so you're walking from Fells Point, and, you know, there's a lot of construction. The neighbors are very concerned because there is a lot of renovation going on two blocks past...
The 600 and 700 block.
Of Broadway. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then past that, though, what's happened is you've got... And please help me with some of the facts, because I've been a bit of a Rip Van Winkle, but you've got maybe about four or five... Yeah, more than that, actually. I remember back when, you know, we voted on it and we talked about some organizations moving in on Broadway to help folks out. What's happened is it's just a lot of bumps. And, I started noticing it over the winter. My family member was ill, so we'd take a lot of walks back and forth to Johns Hopkins as a family and as people coming into the city. And lots of times I kind of shrugged it off because, as I said, I am from Brooklyn and there's a lot of colorful people around, and it just reminded me of Brooklyn maybe 30 years ago and some almost like the Bowery. Wow.
Well, the Broadway corridor has become my new hot button issue.
Okay, yes.
So, don't blame you. You know, I think there's another community association president in Lower Fells Point. We were talking about some of the problems on Broadway, and we call it the Broadway corridor because it is a corridor from Johns Hopkins all the way to the water. And it is, when you're walking from the water and you walk northward, once you get to Eastern Avenue, you're less inclined to keep moving forward because you start to see a lot of the issues that we've talked about, what happens. You've got blight, you've got vagrancy, trash, you have people drinking in open containers and things like that. And what happens is it's like a cancer.
Yes.
You know, it starts a little bit. Even on my way over here, I was hesitant to not stop and take a photograph. There was a, I wouldn't even call it a local wino, but one of the winos that was passed out on St. Patrick's Church on the steps.
Yes.
You know, and this morning at 7:45, I look out my front window and there's someone sitting on my front steps drinking a bottle of vodka. So, you know, when you start to see these things,
yes,
it becomes a problem.
And it's, what, four blocks? Maybe, you know.
I would say you would, from the unit block all the way down to the 400 block of Broadway,
so
we
bank,
have some severe issues.
Bank, it starts at Bank and then maybe past Butcher's Hill a bit. You know.
Yeah, definitely from Bank Street all the way up to Lombard.
Right, okay.
And, you know, one of the things that I think we...
Which is our territory, actually.
It is. I mean, at least on the east side of the street.
Yes.
And on the west side of the street, it's problematic because there is no community association.
There is no community, right, okay.
And I had a conversation yesterday with one of the owners of Taylor Row. You know, he's got 1800 a month and higher apartment units, and he doesn't have a community association to represent the problems that he's facing. And so, you know, there, we had a discussion about how to address that in the future. But
why don't we? It's, you know, I'm a member.
Well,
all right. I mean, I'm kind of a member. If I show up, I pay my dues.
It's not that easy for our association to expand because we're a nonprofit. We have a 501c3 status, so we would have to rewrite the bylaws. We'd have to resubmit the paperwork, and we could lose it. So I thought, you know, I suggested that he contacts Douglas Place because that's the more natural fit.
Douglas Place goes
to Bank Street, so Douglas Place might be able to encompass those two blocks. But
it's on the other side.
Right.
Douglas
Place starts on the west side of Broadway.
Okay.
And it's also a different district. So hopefully we'll be able to work with him with that issue.
Okay.
I mean, what's happening is if you look at these blocks from Eastern Avenue North, it used to be highly Hispanic. There are lots of restaurants, places to go out to eat, and now they're leaving
for
various reasons.
Right.
Some of it's because the Hispanics are moving out of the Upper Broadway corridor to Highlandtown because the rent's cheaper.
Right.
But then we've got the issue with crime.
Right.
We've got a police officer now that has to be parked almost 24 hours a day over on Gulf and Broadway because we have open air drug dealing going on. You've got a loitering going on. This is what I say, talk about the cancer, because what happens is last year we had benches. The city put these really nice benches. They had to be removed.
Right.
And now they're in Patterson Park.
Can I go into a little bit of a story about the Broadway? Because when we were involved a number of years back, a lot of merchants got together, and we were working with then State Senator Sfikas and John Cain, our councilman. And a lot of resources got poured into that area of beautiful things are built along the middle of the street. From that, we saw a nice Latino neighborhood build up where you have some wonderful, and it's still there, and it's not, we're not going to let it go away. We're not going to do that, but it's still there, and, you know, it's struggling. It's not fair to those folks who have, you know, just like us, we took and we built our houses, we rehabbed our houses. They came in and they built businesses and they put their fortunes into it. We have to help those people.
Right, because what's happening is if we don't act soon, and I know Councilman Kraft has tried to create a new business corridor association.
Which is part of the solution, there's no doubt about it.
Right.
I mean,
I may have a difference of opinion on that part, but the issue to me is that if we don't clean up the trash. We don't start dealing with some of the problems with the vagrants and the open containers, people drinking and being intoxicated by 4 o'clock.
Right.
I went to City Hall on taxpayer night.
Yes.
And I asked the city council to, you know, institute possibly using the city code where you would not allow another a liquor establishment to open up around a substance abuse center, because that part of Broadway, we have 2 substance abuse centers, the Power Recovery Center and Alliance. And my idea was that we shouldn't, you know, in Article 2B, the liquor law, you cannot have a liquor establishment within 300 feet of a church or a school. So we're protecting worshipers. We protect young children. So why aren't we protecting the most vulnerable in our neighborhood who have addiction problems? Yet if you go from Bank Street up to the Powell Recovery Center, there are over 8 liquor establishments all surrounding substance abuse centers. And then you have
On Bank in our territory? Or Bristol Liquors and stuff like that a little bit farther down?
No, I'm talking more north, like starting at Bank Street heading north.
Okay.
I mean, if you go southbound, then the number of liquor establishments explodes.
Right. But that's part of Falls Point.
Right, that's Falls Point.
And also the cantinas, too. I mean, we got to worry about them because they serve, you know, liquor and all that. But they you know, they're a positive thing. They're restaurants. They're, you know.
Right.
We want to encourage those things.
But the problem is if you have people laying on sidewalks, in the street, garbage along the neighborhood, people dealing drugs and crime, then people aren't going to frequent those places. We as a community association tried to have a community social at Arcos to help a local restaurant.
Right.
So we tried to tie it in with a COP walk, Assistance on Patrol.
Right, which you guys have been doing a great job, by the way.
And the problem was we didn't get anybody. We had very few people that showed up because nobody wanted to go up on the 100 block of Broadway. But then when we had a community event at Verde, which is over by Canton on Mumford Street. Right. We had upwards of close to 30 people.
Right.
We've had them over at Cocky's, 20-some people show up. So this shows that people don't feel comfortable walking there.
We can't ignore those issues. We can't ignore and say, oh, well, it's okay. You know, it's good. But, you know, so what? And we love Broadway, and it's always been a beautiful neighborhood, and it's tons of resources were put into it. But we can't ignore the fact that it's gotten worse.
Right. And this is where I think this is where the battle begins.
Right.
Where you're tying it into your opening.
Yes.
The community has to rise up and say to our leaders, you know, I normally when I go to taxpayer night as a resident, I voice my complaints about the water bill or problems with customer service, things like that. This year, I showed up asking for help as a community association leader that I said, we need your help. We need you to do something about this problem.
First, we need you to become aware of these issues.
Right.
I don't think a lot of people are aware of how it's gotten.
Well, that's why I posted on Facebook, on my own Facebook page, and tagged Fells Prospect. You saw us show up, and I had photographs. I had 11 by 18 pictures of people passed out at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
I saw those photos, and I said, okay, time to, let's, you know, I'm hearing that ring. I'm hearing the ring of the bell. This is time we need to start gathering our forces again. This is a time where, you know, our neighbors over on Broadway need our help, just like all of those years that we fought together to rescue Patterson Park and such a beautiful corridor. Now it's the same thing. We need to do that.
We definitely need to band together, because if we don't fix this problem along Broadway, then it starts to bleed into the rest of the community. And I've already started to see this happening. I'm getting emails.
I see it too, my friend.
People that are now going from Broadway and they migrate over to Patterson Park.
Yeah.
And so what do you want to have? If we don't fight this now at where it is, that's why I keep using that term cancer, because it will spread.
Yes.
You know,
we've seen it. We've seen how it could become in this neighborhood and how hard it is.
It takes a lot of effort, and we need to put pressure on our state officials, our city officials, the police department, to really rise up. And that, not that we're going to drop the problem. I'm going there asking, suggesting things that are no-brainers. Yes. You know, like the law that I had introduced in Annapolis, which got removed from the House bill, about the 300-foot, you can't put something, a liquor establishment within 300 feet of a substance abuse or a transitional housing unit.
Right.
Because the reason I added transitional housing was because over on Bank Street, we have 24 people that live in a transitional housing units on Bank and Bond Street. Many have substance abuse issues, so we need to help them. They're trying to better their lives. And so I think some of the other issues I'd like to get together is, like, when the Apex was for sale, I had suggested it's a shame that we as a community didn't band together and get the money to buy it and turn it
into Main Street.
Right, a multicultural center.
Right, let's get some federal Main Street money together. We know the presidents of our local Main Street organizations. Let's do it. Let's work with our city councilmen. Let's work with our state representatives. We've always worked together as a family on all these things. Let's get them engaged. Let's sound that alarm.
Well, the idea I was trying to get is to turn it in. This neighborhood was known for immigrants.
Yes.
We had the Polish people came here, the Ukrainians, the Russians.
Yes.
You know, we had American Indians here from the very beginning. And then we've got the new immigrants of the Hispanic from Central and South America. So why not have a cultural center up by Broadway, on the upper part of Broadway, to celebrate all these communities and have movie night? And you could have a Polish movie with subtitles and German, you know, movies, and you could have
business,
all these things.
Community development, business development.
Right, and get Hopkins involved. You know,
right.
Hopkins is at the upper end of Broadway, so we can bring all these together. So you can bring the port, and then you've got this huge nerve center of John Hopkins with all these workers.
Okay, first step, so let's get these streets clean. Let's go out. Make sure the city knows this grass needs to be mowed in the middle of the center. What's the deal with that, you know? I mean, let's engage them, our neighbors. Our partners throughout time, and they have always worked with us. They've always worked on cleaning.
Well, it starts with the neighborhood.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, if everybody would just clean up the 12 feet in front of their property and just take 1/2 hour to clean up in front of your home.
Let's get a cleanup.
That's it.
We'll get a cleanup. We'll get Bridget Palm.
Baltimore Trash Talk.
Yeah. Right. We'll get her involved. We'll get a cleanup going on Broadway.
I mean, part of the community association are committees.
Yes.
You know, we need people who, if you have a passion, come to the association. You know, even though we have set committees, we have newsletter, marketing, we've got the crime committee. If there's something else that you're interested in, if you want to do something specific, there's nothing against having you come to a meeting or email me or anyone else that's involved with the association and say, I want to do this, and we'll talk about it.
Help with the revolution.
Right.
Help with, you know.
It's your neighborhood.
Think globally, act locally.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And one more point about that. But the point is, here we are, folks. We're sitting here. We're comfortable. We've got a wonderful neighborhood. We care about our neighbors, all right? And here we have a purpose. We need help. Broadway is our capital. And just like our ancestors who rose and saved this great nation of ours, who sat there together, worked together, doing whatever they could, Broadway, our capital, our Main Street, is on fire. We need help. the 20%. We need to keep working with the 20%. We need to keep encouraging the 80%. But because it's our neighborhood, and it is a great place to be in. Victor, can we have some contact info?
Yeah, I mean, for people who are on social media, Fells Prospect, go on to Facebook. We have a Twitter account, though we may not use it as much as we should. You can email me on Facebook. And then my private email address is VicTracy, VicTracy, @yahoo.com. And if you don't live in Fells Prospect's boundaries, go to the internet, Google Canton Community Association,
yes,
or get Highland involved. Town. Just,
yes,
get involved.
There's other neighborhoods, other leaders, other committee chairs. There's, you know, you can do your share, and you won't regret it. It is our church. It is a wonderful thing to do. And if you're listening to this broadcast, remember, if you have a Main Street that's suffering, if you are scared and you're overwhelmed, that you can turn to your community association, you can turn to your community leaders, you can turn to your politicians. They care too. They care in Baltimore, they care throughout this country. As we go towards our great anniversary of our Second Revolution, remember that there are neighborhoods out there. We were restoring them, we're beautifying, we're making a difference. And that's where we are great. And once again, this is Ray Blankenheim, host of On My Stoop with Ray. Please listen in to future episodes where we get community leaders, where we get other folks that are involved in the neighborhoods, but also involved in all types of areas. It's On My Stoop with Ray. We're here to engage. Thank you, Victor, for showing up today.
Thanks for having me.
President of the Fells Prospect, you have our thanks as a neighborhood.
Appreciate that.
And also, please come back by.
Sure,
I'd
love to.
We hope that you can participate in future interviews and also maybe help us get some forums together and keep us up to date on how things are going. And I'm going to help. I'm not going to sit there and preach, be up here. I want to help. So, you know, I think you know that. And, you know, you've got me all riled up.
Right.
So,
thanks
that's what
for
happens.
Having me. I appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Have a good night.
Good night.